Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio in real time via ZipWhip landline texting at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We're going to talk about the very serious situation in every community in the country and talk about how it's being dealt with around here. Opioids, the big thing, and we've talked about in the past with a number of guests and with the with local law enforcement. And this morning we're going to talk about something called the Community Collaborative for Youth and Families, and they are dealing with this. We have Donna Krause with us and Michelle Wagaman with us to talk about it. Good morning to both of you. Thanks for getting up and coming in.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
Good morning.
Michelle, I'll start off with you. The Community Collaborative for Youth and Families, a big name for really something you're going to be holding town halls, and you're really taking a look at this, I guess, from a local perspective.
Absolutely. Every community has a prevention coalition, and the Community Collaborative for Youth and Families is ours. We are a membership of 30 to 35 organizations from nonprofits, local governments, to schools. We meet monthly and take on a bunch of different topics and decided that we wanted to address opiates in our community. That's an important issue, and we have a great team ready to host some events and raise awareness.
Well, and I guess, Donna, raising awareness, that's the key here, because I still am learning a lot about it. I 6 months ago, I thought, yeah, I understand it. And then another person comes in, and I'm sure at the end of this show, we'll have a different understanding of things. There are a lot of pieces to this whole thing.
Exactly. And I think one of the main things is education. We want to make sure that families have the knowledge to not only help themselves or family members, but other people they may come across in their world that is facing addiction. And so arming them with information, with resources, places they can reach out, and also how they can help themselves is really part of why we're hosting the town hall events.
And we'll get into where all of these are, because there's only been one of them so far. And I guess they're all going to be, one each in each of the planning district localities?
Yes, we really wanted to bring the event to each locality so that that community would be able to interact with leadership and community members from that community. So we do have one in each of the planning districts, Caroline, Spotsylvania, Fredericksburg, King George, and Stafford.
When you talk about education, a year ago, if we had had this discussion, I would have said, yeah, this is a problem for just kids, but it's not. It's all ages, unfortunately, is what this whole opioid thing comes over.
Back in the spring, we had a day-long workshop, and we brought together, RECSB partnered with Mary Washington Healthcare and other organizations to have a day-long summit and evening town hall. And we brought together emergency room physicians, pediatricians, legislators, sheriffs, nonprofit leaders, and that was really hard to narrow down a target because it is so broad. It is homes in million-dollar communities and Section 8 low-income communities. It affects all races, genders, age, socioeconomic status. It is truly an epidemic affecting our community.
Boy, and that's the thing. A lot of times with this type of thing, you can say this is who we're targeting. But in this, like you said, it can go from the nicest subdivisions you can imagine, the gated subdivisions, to you know, into where it's not. So it's everybody's affected.
I think this creates a challenge for every community, because when you have such a wide array of population targeting specific programs or resources or ways to address that becomes a challenge. How do you think about sort of the middle-aged man or woman facing the addiction, and then a teenager, or an elderly person? It's really hard to think about the strategies. And one of the things that came out of the summit that day was various strategies at different levels, from policy to treatment and harm reduction to kind of figure out, well, what are all the ways we can address the different types of population?
Well, the other thing, Donna, that I remember from that day in that summit was seeing pictures from it, and the room was just packed. I mean, you had it showed me that there are a lot of people interested in and have concerns about this topic.
There are, and we really one of the other components of this is the community. You don't have to be, you know, in the mental health business or in law enforcement to really make a difference and be part of the solution of what we're trying to achieve. And that's another component of the town hall event, is a call to action to our community members. The only way we'll be able to combat this is if we all come together to come up with solutions.
Boy, in this whole community collaborative for youth and families, I mean, this is just one of the things, I guess, that you're dealing with. But boy, for right now, this is a really a big topic, and probably at times, like you kind of touched on, Michelle, it's kind of overwhelming when you think of just the broad scope of it.
It is, and through our three work groups, a prevention work group, a treatment and recovery, and harm reduction, we're kind of breaking it down and looking at what can we do now in 3 months, what can we do in 6 months, what's going to take a longer time, and acknowledging this isn't going to go away in a year.
Yeah.
Opioids have been around for decades, for centuries. It's a new face of it now, and it's more deadly when it's cut in with fentanyl and carfentanil, which are very potent, and they're synthetic, and they cause death, quite frankly, unfortunately. And so we need to be a community. It's a community problem, and it's going to take the entire community to address it.
I remember talking about a year and a half ago, First Sergeant Sean Jones with the Spotsylvania Sheriff's Office was in, and talking about how he had seen somebody who was a teenager, and somebody he knew well, and he said just looking into her eyes, he could see something what she was involved with, and he just said it just takes over a person.
As part of the town hall, we're showing Chasing the Dragon, which is a documentary created by the DEA and FBI. Interesting enough, a good bit of it was filmed right here at the Rappahannock Regional Jail.
Hmm.
And it includes local families, and it shows the impact of addiction. It shows the impact on the families and the individuals using substances themselves. It's a very powerful documentary.
Wow.
in my opinion.
It is, and I've watched it now a few times, and every time I see a viewing of it, I notice something different and realize the impact in a different way. It is an extremely powerful film. If you haven't seen it, that's one of the things that we are encouraging people to come to the town hall so they can see what the face of addiction really looks like.
Yeah, boy, and that's scary that something like that that's used so wide was filmed right here.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes it really close. You said it's called Chasing the Dragon?
Chasing the Dragon by the FBI and DEA.
Mm. Donna Krause here, Michelle Wagaman here. We're talking about opioids and the Community Collaborative for Youth and Families. We will continue on. We'll talk about coming up next the various spots where there are town hall meetings. We'll do that on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
We're talking this morning about the Community Collaborative for Youth and Families and their work in the area on opioids. Donna Krause here, Michelle Wagaman here. You two are like Donna, you're the chairman of this group, and Michelle's the vice chairman. Is that so? I've got the...
Yes.
I've got
correct.
The leadership yes. in here this morning. This isn't the only thing you deal with, is it? Or, I mean, it is right now kind of your focus.
It is. We do also work on other things. One of our biggest projects right now is trying to reduce the rates of recidivism for juveniles entering and reentering the juvenile justice system. We've done a lot of work on trying to identify what risk factors there are with these youth so that we can look at programming, look at how we can integrate into the family to support the family, help them be successful, which then in turn helps the youth be successful. We've actually had an opportunity to go into the Rappahannock Regional Jail to do some surveying of inmates to find out how they got there, what road they traveled to get to that point. Ironically enough, we have actually come across a lot that have faced addiction in their teen years. It kind of circled back around to our goal. So we do have a common plan, and we are strategizing and working on that goal as well. But it really does relate to the opioid epidemic as well. They are interrelated.
Michelle, in your day job, you're with the Rappahannock
Rappahannock Area Community Services Board.
Community
RACSB.
Services. Yes,
it's a mouthful.
I was trying to think of the acronym. It's going to be really cool and say that, and all of a sudden I drew a blank. The Community Services Board. This fits in really well with that. I know that this is something that just with what you do during the day, and then with this emphasis, I know this is a big thing for the Community Services Board.
It is, absolutely. In my role as Prevention Services Director, we are addressing substance abuse and misuse and trying to prevent youth. Traditionally, prevention has gone into classrooms and done substance abuse prevention education. And over the last couple of years, it's really broadened to more an environmental approach and looking at population health and overall wellness. And so, yes, we started doing suicide prevention initiatives, and now we are also doing opioid-specific prevention initiatives. And one of those is REVIVE, which is an opioid reversal training. It's an hour-long training where you learn how to recognize the signs and symptoms of an overdose, as well as how to administer naloxone or Narcan, which is the antagonist to reverse an opioid overdose.
Well, and I have seen in local sheriff's departments, and police have that, and I've seen, and they've talked about it here before, and that's what a great drug that is to be able to administer that and actually bring someone back.
Yes, absolutely. In our community, all five jurisdictions carry naloxone have used it several times. So while the number of overdoses are up in our community substantially, the number of fatalities are down, mm-hmm. because of the availability of Narcan and the training the officers receive.
The REVIVE program, is that something that's you're still offering that training around here?
We are. Unfortunately, I don't have any scheduled dates coming up, but if you check out the RACSB website, okay. Anytime, that's where we'll have our REVIVE training information.
Speaking of dates, we've got these town hall meetings are taking place, and this really gives each locality a chance to I guess kind of hear what's going on in their community and learn more about it. Donna,
yes, our strategy was to go into each locality. We started in King George County, and it was a very successful event. And our next upcoming town hall is September 13th at the Caroline County Community Center. All events are 6:30 to 8:30. Begin with a viewing of Chasing the Dragon, followed by a panel discussion with community members. We have representatives from the DEA, from local law enforcement, from public safety, emergency management, physicians, nurses, social services representation, the health district, community services board. And so they're going to engage in a discussion with the community so they can answer questions, they can learn about resources. After that is in Stafford County, September 26th at Brook Point High School. And then in the city of Fredericksburg on October 2nd, followed by October 16th in Spotsylvania County at the Salem Fields Community Church. We're really excited about being able to go into each locality, and we reached out to all of the county governments educate them about what we were doing, and the elected officials invited them personally to attend and be a part of what we're doing.
And again, these are free. You said they're from 6:30 to 8:30, and just some good information, because we'll get into later on in the program just some of the signs and some of the things that the people can do. But this is kind of gives you really a close-up view and getting a chance to talk to some people, because we could sit around here for an hour and just talk about, oh, this is just terrible. And, you know, but there are some hopes, and there's a lot of people in this area, especially in the law enforcement side, have really dealt with this up close and have some good information.
Exactly. And we will educate by sharing some statistics. While it is a little disheartening to view those kinds of things, I think it's important that we're armed with knowledge so that we have a realistic view of what our challenge is and what we're trying to do. We also, and we learned in our King George event, we had a lot of family members that came, and they were looking for resources. Hmm. Where do I go? Who do I call in my community to get help? I have a family member that needs help. How do I get that help for them? And then also asking questions about, well, what can I do? So that's really the basis of the panel discussion, is so that we can be there for the community.
I remember when this first came up a couple of years ago, I just remember thinking the drugs that they were being talked about and everything, you just thought this was something that was back in the 70s and that this had been taken care of. And law enforcement, everybody just said, no, it's coming back. And it has.
It has. It's highly addictive. Last year alone, we had 72 opioid overdoses in Planning District 16. That was a 35% increase over the previous year.
Mm.
Last year, across all of the Commonwealth, there were 4,000 administrations of Narcan. There were more than 8,000 visits to the emergency department due to an overdose. So those are large numbers.
Yeah. No. And like you say, like Don, when you said that with the King George event, just, you know, families came because it like we said earlier, it can be anybody and in any you know, any economic range, and with families too, it can be numerous members in a family.
It can, and I think one of the things that we learned at the summit was that there's no face to this, you know, or there's many faces. And one of the other components of this is, you know, thinking about how we got here. How did this happen?
How did it happen?
And there's a lot of theories about that. And there was some discussion from the ER docs at the hospitals about prescriptions, how we manage pain as a society, how we deal with pain, you know, what does that look like? So we did have some questions about policy changes and, you know, thinking about going and talking to our senators and our you know, those people that kind of make those policy changes.
Yeah.
and what that might look like. Because there's more than, right now we're reacting to that and we're coming up with strategies, but there's a larger component to this that will take a lot of effort.
Now, I hear we have on the air public service announcements that talk about this and how certain kinds of pain medication will only be given either in lower doses or you can't get it as long, or it's not just automatically given out, and you hear those kind of things.
Well, and I think people, you know, an example, you know, you hurt your back. And you go to the doctor for back pain, which is significant. The back pain can be extremely significant. And you get some pain meds. And, you know, if you're not able to manage that, or you're not sure how to get off of those pills, or, you know, there's more than just prescribing pain medication. And I think one of the things we're trying to talk about in the town halls is, what are those other support systems that are in place to help people as they're going through that pain management so that, you know, you don't get addicted? Because it's very easy to become addicted.
No, and like you say, especially something like back pain, they can be so debilitating, and you just think, oh, just come on, give me, you know, this gives me relief. But down the line, it can be a whole lot worse.
And these medications and opioid medications serve a purpose, you know, when you use them as prescribed, as medically directed, and when it turns to misuse and abuse, and that's when we see the increase in addiction.
Yeah.
And so that's important to have those conversations with your physicians when you're getting prescribed opiates so that you understand how to use it, that it's not going to be long-term. But then there are people in chronic pain, you know, cancer patients who need this level of pain management.
Yeah.
And so it's really important for our community to educate themselves on medications, their usage, and pain management in whole. Is it?
Well, and I think, and one of the things I guess you would deal with in this is all of us thinking, well, I can handle it. That's something someone else has, but I need it, and you know, I've got a handle on this, and that's probably the most dangerous view on this.
It is, and actually, in Chasing the Dragon, that is one of the stories that is shared, as a woman who thought she had it under control, and before she knew it, she didn't.
Yeah.
And sometimes if you have someone in your home that is taking prescription medication, you may have some left over. And so one of the things we talk about in the town halls is be aware of what's in your medicine cabinet. You know, if you have teenagers or even other family members, it's not just kids or an elderly, a parent living with you, you know, make sure that you're aware of what you have, what you have left, get rid of it, you know, secure it, keep it in a place where it can't be accessed. That's one of the things that we try to educate people about, because you don't think about that.
And when Donna says get rid of medication, we don't want you just flushing it or throwing it in the trash. And in our community, law enforcement participate in the annual National Take Back events, and they're sponsored by the DEA. The next one's coming up is October 28th. That's usually organized by the Partners in Aging group. But we're fortunate in our community, both the King George Sheriff's Office and the Stafford Sheriff's Office both have medication collection bins 24/7 available in their lobby. No questions asked. You just go in and dispose of your medication safely in that bin. If you can't get to one of those sheriff's office and you don't want to wait till October 28th, there are homemade kits you can do. You can dissolve your pills or crush them up and put them in with cat litter or coffee grinds and seal it in a Ziploc bag, and then you can put it out in your trash that way.
Okay. Hadn't heard that. There's my first thing of learning this morning. And the collection bins you said are in King George and Stafford?
Correct, right now.
Okay. And I didn't know that either. I heard that was being talked about, but I didn't know it actually happened. So there are some things that are going on. The Community Collaborative for Youth and Families, our focus this morning, they're having town hall meetings on opioids. Donna Krause and Michelle Wagaman here. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 8:31.
Okay, listen, we got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Opioid addiction in this community, our focus, town hall meetings taking place in all of the localities in Planning District 16. We're talking about that with Donna Krause and Michelle Wagaman. They're with the Community Collaborative for Youth and Families. And Donna, we were talking in the last segment, you were talking about the first of these town hall meetings at King George. And one of the things that you mentioned, that the people and families just wondered, who do I call? And that's always my thing. If you noticed a family member, and we'll get into maybe some of the signs too, but who do you call if you suspect that you've a loved one or a family member, someone you work with, might be getting too deep into this kind of stuff?
There are a lot of resources in our region, and each locality does have some locality-specific treatment options. But one of the first things I would say is the Rappahannock Area Community Services Board has a plethora of opportunities. They have helplines that you can call if you have questions. They have 24-hour crisis hotlines. They have support groups. They have NA and AA meetings. They have some treatment options as well. There are also, there's SnowNet Fredericksburg. And then, as I mentioned, there are some private providers that provide counseling throughout the region. And one of the things we're trying to do is share that information in those town halls. I think that if you're not sure of what those options are or where those treatment providers are, the Community Service Board can help with that as well. They have brochures and information and access to information that they can provide to you.
Michelle, you can give the website or just how people can get in touch with the Community Service Board, because that is just a wealth of information.
RappahannockAreaCSB.org, Rappahannock spelled out, is our website. You can also call our main clinic, Fredericksburg Clinic, at 540-373-3223. And our 24-hour emergency services number is 540-373-6876. And that's for crisis services and to help you gain access to services. And so we provide outpatient therapy, individual, group, family therapy, case management. We have Project Link, which works with pregnant and parenting women, so a high-risk population. And then we also offer medication-assisted treatment.
Again, before we get out of here this morning, we'll give those numbers again. But even if you just Google Rappahannock Area Community Services Board, you'll find all the things. When you were given some of those numbers and talking about some of the various things that you do, it's interesting how the Community Services Board kind of adjusts to the needs of the community, because probably 5 or 10 years ago, some of these services may not have been needed or needed to the point they are now.
Absolutely. We have added additional groups for individuals in medication-assisted treatment. Even if they're getting MAT services from another provider, they can still come to a therapy group through RECSB. Absolutely. We want to evolve to meet the needs of the community.
Well, Donna, knowing where to go is good, but what are some of the signs that people should look for and if they see or should be red flags that there's an issue here with opioids?
So one of the biggest things is if you notice a change in behavior that's very extreme, you know, maybe some lying, some deceptiveness, if people start to avoid eye contact with you, especially family members that you're used to having sort of interactions with every day, if their speech becomes impaired, if their performance in school starts to decrease, or someone maybe loses a job or starts to have performance issues at work, hygiene, and just even your physical appearance, you can look a little bit different. If they're withdrawn, maybe they become isolated and they don't want to be around other people. They're not spending time with friends like they used to. They've sort of lost interest in maybe something like a hobby or something they love to do, but now they don't. The other thing is, especially with heroin, if they start to cover their body, like their arms, because they may have some track marks, so that's another sign.
In the home, you can look for paraphernalia, so needles or syringes when you don't have a medical need for them.
Yeah.
If your spoons start disappearing and you find burnt spoons, aluminum foil or gum wrappers with burn marks, missing shoelaces, which would be used to tie off for an injection site, little plastic baggies with powdery residue, water pipes. So those are some of the things that you can look for in your home.
But how difficult must it be if you do suspect and then you start finding some of this stuff, because you just don't want to believe this is, I would think in a lot of cases, are a family member just is thinking this happens to someone else, not me. And that's, I guess, what you have to fight against too, that when you see it, take some action.
And that can be very challenging. It can be scary. People can feel ill-equipped to deal with something like that. And I would say reach out, you know, call someone, get educated. Maybe you might need some support, a support group as well, because if you're that close to it, it can be difficult to challenge someone or to try to help someone. The other thing is, in our King George Town Hall, we did have, we were very fortunate to have someone on our panel who was a recovering addict, and she was amazing. She shared her story, and one of the key things that people asked her was, well, how did you finally come to this place where you were willing to get help? You know, how can we help you, or how can it help someone in your situation? And she very simply said, I had to want to get help. Mm-hmm. I had to make that choice and that decision, and until she got to that point, she wasn't able to do it. And so her loved ones, imagine the impact on your loved ones or your friends and people that you interact with, how hard that must be for them, and what do you do? And so it really is important to create a support system for yourself.
Now, and to be able to be to that point, to be able to say, I need help, in a lot of cases, I mean, you would be just embarrassed. And it does take a lot of courage to be able to admit there's a problem here.
Yes.
And that's, I guess, what makes this, for everybody, this is just tough. And for the creation of this community collaborative to put together these town halls are just really valuable, just like you said, Donna, just for the information they provide. And it may be somebody in your family, maybe somebody you work with, it may be somebody in your neighborhood, but we all need to have some kind of a basis of information on this.
And we do, we have people there even after the event that you can talk to. We have a resource table where we're going to have brochures and information that you can leave with and take home and share with other people. We're doing a call to action. You know, we want people to be able to help someone in the community. We want to raise awareness, not only with the people that are attending, but then they go to work and they share awareness with their coworkers. We want people to feel confident to have a conversation if they're, you know, interacting with someone or know someone mm-hmm. that is on the brink of addiction or is facing addiction, so that they can feel like they can make an impact and make a difference.
No, having that kind of information is when you do run into, you don't want to be in the situation where someone does say to you, you know, I may have a problem. And instead of you saying, yeah, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, good luck.
Right. Okay. I'm here for you. Let's get you help.
Yeah. You know, you can go to the Community Services Board website. You can go. There are just things you can do mm-hmm. that you can direct them to. And that's why these meetings and why this community is we're so fortunate to be able to have these meetings and so many of these town hall meetings.
One of the results of the summit was. We are now creating a council, a healthy communities advisory council, made up of about 17 key stakeholders that are going to follow the progress of this work. As Michelle mentioned earlier, this isn't something that's going to be resolved in 6 months or a year or even 2 years. This is going to take a very long time to address. And the Healthy Advisory Community Council will be overseeing the work and, you know, overseeing any grants that we might receive as a group, and also the three groups that Michelle mentioned earlier. They're going to be boots on the ground, looking at strategies, looking at collaboration, looking at ways to not only work here in our region, but maybe outreach to the state of Virginia. There's a lot of things going on in the Commonwealth. Everyone is kind of getting together, putting the brain power together to figure out how we can combat the crisis.
And again, in dealing with this crisis, a couple years ago, I would have thought if ever we had opioid discussions, it would just be with the police, and we were talking about just the law enforcement end of this. But there's way more to it than that.
You can't arrest your way out of this.
Yeah.
It is a community problem. It takes a full community response. And so we all have to come together to collaborate to address this epidemic.
We're going to wrap this up. When we come back, we'll talk again about where all of these town halls are being held, and we'll talk about some of the helps that you can get around here and get some information and get some helps right away. Donna Krause, Michelle Wagaman here. We're talking about town hall meetings on opioids. The Community Collaborative for Youth and Families is the overarching group that we're talking about, and we will conclude when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
We're talking about opioid addictions this morning. Town hall meetings taking place around the community, and we'll get into the dates on those again. With Donna Krause and Michelle Wagaman here with the Community Collaborative for Youth and Families. During the break, Donna, you were telling me just a story, and it dealt with someone that you met. they had an injury, a sports injury, and it just it illustrated just how quick this can happen.
Yes, when we were doing the jail survey, a young man had completed his survey, and at the end, there's an opportunity for them to share a little bit. It's an open-ended question. They can share a little bit more. And one of the things he said to me was that the reason he got to this place was when he was 17, he had a sports injury while he was in high school from basketball, and began taking pain medication for that injury. And just like that, at 23, he's been in and out of jail and was addicted. And didn't know what to do and didn't know what he was going to do. So it happened for him very fast over that time span. And that's what happens to a lot of people. They get to a place and they don't know how it happened, because it happens so quick. And once you're in that rabbit hole, I hate to say that, but once you're down that deep in it, it's hard to get out.
How to get out, yeah.
But we, you know, one of the things from our town hall events that we're trying to do is instill hope. There is hope in recovery. There is hope in your community. We are here for you. We want to help people. We want to help those people that can help their family. As a community, we really want to wrap around these folks and really do what we can to get them healthy.
You've got town hall meetings that will go through about the middle of October. And if you want to run through those dates real quick again.
Yes.
Sure. They're all from 6:30 to 8:30. And the next one coming up is on September 13th at the Caroline County Community Center. On September 26th, we're going to Stafford County to the Brook Point High School. On October 2nd, we're at James Monroe High School in the city. And then on October 16th, we're going to wrap it up in Spotsylvania County at the Salem Fields Community Church.
Well, and again, from 6:30 to 8:30 is when these take place. And boy, Donna, as you've talked about some of the different things that came out of the King George, just that one town hall you've had, that's really good information.
It was, and we actually ended up going a little later because of all of the interaction with the panel and the questions. A lot of people in the audience actually shared some information in addition to the panelists. It really is a conversation. We're not just there sharing information and educating, but we want to have a conversation with people that are coming to the town hall events. There'll be an opportunity for them to submit questions. They can ask anything that they want, anything that's on their minds, and we will, you know, we'll try to answer all those questions and have the people in their community share that information. It is free. The screening itself is about 42 minutes, 44 minutes, something like that. We do have some light refreshments that we provide. And again, we also have a resource table available with a lot of information. So when folks are leaving, they can grab that and take it back home with them.
As you both have talked about this morning, this isn't something this is just a problem for kids. It's the story you just told, Donna, was just about it's pain medication, I guess, is one of the more, just having an injury or needing medicine is one of the more common ways to get hooked on these opioids.
And it underscores the importance of having conversations. Parents, coaches, caregivers talk to youth around safely using prescriptions, not to share prescriptions, and then in your home, keeping an inventory, knowing what you have. Don't keep expired medications on hand. Mm-hmm. Safely dispose of them. Safely secure them in your home. And have that conversation with your physician. Talk about safe prescribing practices and know what you're taking. Know how long you're going to take it and then how you're going to taper off.
And I guess a lot of that is taking place because I've heard people talk about going to the doctor and not getting the same dosage or them cutting it off because of this. So those conversations, I guess, are taking place.
And they will need to continue. You know, I have another example. One of the people that I work with as a community partner, she needs to have knee replacement surgery on both of her knees. And one of the things she had some challenges with that. And so she went to the doctor, and the doctor said, well, we can't do this right now, but I can prescribe you pain medication, heavy doses of pain medication. And she was scared. She said, well, how am I going to manage that? How is it going to make me feel? So she questioned that. She questioned the doctor. And part of that reason is she's been hearing about this in the news, the national news, across the country, of these things that are happening. So I think that those conversations will become more prevalent, and it will eventually have to change the way we prescribe.
Michelle, how do we get in touch? There's a lot of information, good information, that the Rappahannock Area Community Services Board has.
Sure. Our website is rappahannockareacsb.org, and our main clinic number in Fredericksburg is 540-373-3223. You can call that to access services for outpatient therapy, case management, medication-assisted treatment. And, of course, our 24-hour emergency services is 540-373-6876, and that's 24/7.
And you mentioned about collection bins that King George and Stafford has right now. So that's a way to be able to dispose of some of this stuff.
Absolutely. So if your call to action today is to take an inventory of your medicine cabinet and those old and expired medications, put them in a Ziploc and take them to the sheriff's office in King George or Stafford.
Well, go ahead. You were going to say something.
I wanted to just say that if you are interested in being a part of our work, the Community Collaborative for Youth and Families is always accepting applications, or not even applications, but membership.
Just show up.
Just show up. We just ask that you come to one of our meetings. We have a website. It's thecommunitycollaborative.org. So if you want to be a part of what we're doing, please join us.
You said thecommunitycollaborative.org. And you can fill out that application or just show up.
Show up.
Well, thank you. This is such a heavy topic, but there is some hope. But like we've said, it's a serious thing. Donna Krause, Michelle Wagaman, thank you so much for what you're doing, and we'll stay up to date on this.
Thank you.
That's it for Town Talk. We will see you Monday on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.